This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It should get...
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flegg wins the goal!
It's
the
goal! It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw it. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes! Oh, my God!
The Wednesday Week!
Good evening. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. Tonight, I'm joined by Blair, Simon and Holly to talk... Talk about the weekend's game against Southampton. Even before I start, everyone watching, listening, just drop us a subscribe on all the social media you see at the bottom of the screen, if you don't mind. That's if you like what you hear. So, guys, how are we?
I'm not good.
Holly, how are you?
This is the worst hangover I have had for a very long time.
Oh, dear.
Like many people on Saturday, this is not going to be my finest performance, I'm afraid. I have got some water, but I am literally shaking, so this is not good. I'll try my best.
I'm sure you will be better than most on this podcast, Holly. Blair, how are we?
I'm grand, because I didn't have to go around to Southampton.
Yeah, out of us four, you had the best idea of staying at home, mate. So,
yeah. Armchair fan.
Good call. Simon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm good, mate. Yourself, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Fantastic. Good, yeah, so everyone watching, listening, you join us. Chef Wednesday, 3 on the bounce win, going to Southampton, who were 18 unbeaten, 1-7 on the trot at home. It was a monumental ask, but we've had them before in the past few months. So, Southampton... were you feeling confident just before we go down, Blair? Were you feeling confident? Do you think with the 3-game winning streak we were on?
I bigged myself up to believe he might be able to do something on the counter attack, because he had Masaba Gassama on and Kadamachi's tenacity up front. I just thought maybe they might get a lucky break and we just shit out right. A 1-0 win or get a draw, a 1-1 draw or something. But no. After 15 minutes, that was evident it was never going to happen.
Holly, were you confident going into the game?
Well, I wasn't going to go because I thought it's going to be crap. We're going to lose. it's a long way, it's expensive. And then I had an internal battle and I thought, who are you, me, to tell me I can't go? And then I got serious FOMO. And then I decided, do you know, the longer I thought about it, I thought, well, they're not going to win them all. They've got to lose at some point. Maybe it's this one. And I believed in everything that Danny Rule was saying, and I'd convinced myself. And then everybody kept saying, well, think about that first day of the season, and then we can judge how far we've come from that first day.
That's a good point.
Playing them again, and how much better do you think we are compared to that? And I'd convinced myself, so I was just like, that's it. Booked the hotel on 8 o'clock on Friday night.
Simon?
Yeah, well, as you all knew, I wasn't going to go. And then I went down the Holly Avenue of FOMO. I never heard of that word FOMO until this year, and well, last year, and I had major FOMO. So I messaged a good friend of mine, Ash, and said, are you going to the game? And he went, yeah. So then I bought a ticket and I bought one for Nathan, and we went down in the car, didn't we?
There was only me who was always dead set going. I've got my ticket on the first release. I'm always going.
I was always sort of like, well, I'll be happy with a draw or a 1-0 loss. I think the socials had an extra from Tolkien's Lord of the Rings or something like that, who lives in Southampton, predicting a 4-0 loss. And I was just going, please, just not a 4-0 loss. Yeah, that's all I had, was not 4-0. Anyway, back to you, Ash.
Well, that was it, weren't it? I mean, there were the chance for Danny Rule to make some changes, maybe bring in some players, and there was some new signings that may or may not have got some minutes. So, we'll just talk about the starting lineup. Anyone, as you can see on the banner on the bottom of the screen here, any comments, anything you just want to let us know about, what your thoughts are, get involved. Why not? There's no stupid questions or thing, because look at us four. So you can't get more stupid than us. So come on, get involved. It'll be grand. So here we go. Starting lineup. If you can see that, everyone on the screen. So I've just, for you on an audio medium, I've just put a picture of the starting lineup. So we had Dawson in net, kept his place. Palmer right back, Johnson left back. Diaby and Ekwe in the centre. Bannon and Bernard in the centre of midfield. Kadamachi up front, supported by Masaba, Windass and Gassama. Blair, what did you think about for the initial 2 o'clock, everyone looking at their phones, lineup?
Well, everyone looked at the Bernard situation in centre midfield, and the only thing I can think of is that he tried going a bit more defensive and maybe try and show up the back line a bit more. But also in the previous few games, Bernard's gone on like a tear and run few times forward, so maybe he's just thought you can do that in midfield more and not be leaving us massively exposed at the back. So maybe he's like a double thinking about it. But it could be the first time you could criticise Danny Rule, because it wasn't the right call at all, was it?
Do you know what? No, before the game, right, when I saw the starting lineup, and it's just like everybody in attack, and then here's some defenders, nobody in the middle, go for it, and then these guys are here. I thought that was brilliant. I was so excited. I thought he's just decided, don't even let him get it in our half. Everybody just attack, go, 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 go. And I'm on board with that kind of stuff. I know, obviously, whatever happens, but I am on board with it. Do it again. Every time. I loved it.
I mean, Simon?
Yeah, well, we had a conversation on the way down, didn't we? And I've had the conversation with my mate AD after the last game as well. Would you bring Bambo back in? And I've wholeheartedly said no. The defence was working as it was with Big Dish and Ihekwe, who's probably been one of our best players since coming in for the Preston game after the Coventry game. That's the last time we played Coventry. And was it Danny trying to fit both those players in? Because we know Dijon can pass the ball. Like Blair said, he'll take the ball from midfield and he will push forward. I just think it was there's a meme, isn't there, of John Travolta? I think it's out of Pulp Fiction, where I think it's when he stood in the hallway of I can't remember whose house it was, and he's sort of like this. And that's what Dijon Bernard did for the entire first half of that game. He was stood around going.
We'll get on to that, Simon. We'll get on to your thoughts of the first half.
Yeah. Do you think that Danny Rule told Bambo he were in the squad and then looked at social media and everyone's going, it's got to be a Heckwit and Bernard. It's got to be. And he were like, shit. And then he's like, go on then, everybody can play.
There must be something that obviously Danny Rule sees in Bambo. There must be, because I think the most improved, not the most improved player, but the player out of the last two or three games that's come in Ekwe has been fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And I was happy for him to see him keep his place, because I did think he'd go Bernard and Bambo. But then the to actually play off...
Heck was quite slow, isn't he? So maybe he just thought Bambo's faster.
Yeah.
That's all I can think. Or he's got some dodgy pictures of somebody.
Liam said, obviously, we're just starting the starting lineup. I know we're going on, but what one Volks Diaby think sat on the bench? I know Momo Diaby's coming back from a long layoff, so I'm imagining minutes-wise for him should be. But Volks, I've got to... We'll get on to it and my thoughts on Volks in the second half. But yeah, if your players that your positioning is centre midfield and you've got a guy, don't worry, who's been one of the best centre backs all season in Bernard coming into playing the midfield, it's got to be a bit disheartening, hasn't it?
Especially when Volks has been playing so well as well.
Yeah, but he's been out injured for a while, hasn't he? So I can only think he didn't play him from the start because was it at Preston where he went off with what we thought was a hamstring. So I can only think, but I was more surprised that Momo Diaby didn't end up playing because he's obviously he's done quite well in the last couple of games, you know, and for me, he's the sort of player to break up that play that they have and drive the ball forward. Whereas again, I think Dijon just looked a little bit lost.
It's a bit thing with obviously Palmer in the last two games has played in that midfield, a bit of a holding midfield player. So I would have thought if he was going to go more defensive, he'd have stopped with Palmer. So it was a bit, and I think a bit of left field. I don't think he's ever played in that position before, Bernard, especially not for Sheffield Wednesday. Mm. So it was a bit of a left field to start against what is a very, very, very strong and expensive Southampton team.
What I was going to say was just quickly, Holly, was when we were in the pub discussing it before the game, we were like, well, obviously Danny's seen something in the player to play him in that position because he hasn't put a foot wrong so far, and he always knows how to change a game. He's done it several times. He's the ultimate tactician. So I think we, before the game, went, oh, it's a surprising choice. But he knows what he's doing. So none of us sort of doubted it in a way until the game, I suppose.
Yeah, similar to that, really. I think we're going to have to forget about positions of players and like 4-4-2 or whatever, which... I mean, everyone forgot about 4-4-2. That's not a thing anymore, is it? But I feel like Danny Rule...
Showing your age there, Holly.
Sorry. Danny Rule's got different categories that players are in, and they're in more than one category, and depending on what's happening. I think there was it might have been the Cardiff game, which, again, that, I suppose it didn't work, but he decided we're going to go more attacking and then just completely changed everything, and everyone were looking like going... So where's he? But the players just went with it or whatever. So I think it's not a case of Bernard was doing the job of Volks. He's just doing something completely different that he knows about, to be fair.
So Merrick Cooper's put, to be fair, I thought Big Dish might work out in midfield when I saw the lineup. Obviously not, or at least not against that team. Mm. What do you think, Blair, when you saw that?
Well, I didn't realise how good Southampton midfield actually was until I saw it just absolutely pass us to annihilation. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, it might be really good in midfield, big dish, but he never got a chance to have a ball. I mean, when he did get the ball, he had like literally like half a second, if that, to even pick a pass. And everyone was so knackered. There were no movement. We kept losing the ball. It was just shit, mate. So it was just like, so maybe it might work in, it might work out in the future game. Like it might be a masterstroke.
Yeah,
but it didn't work out against Southampton.
Yeah, well, three o'clock came, and obviously we kicked off. What were your initial thoughts, Holly, of the first, I don't know, 20 minutes, shall we say?
Before the first goal, I didn't think we were too bad. Well, no, that's not true.
we didn't pass three balls.
I think they were really obviously just kicking it away, and there was nobody to link up. It were definitely a very separate, those are over there and these are defending. And the couple of the players in other games, Gassama and Masaba, I mean, it works having them running at people, but when we haven't got the ball, I'm not convinced that they are very effective. So at the start, I don't think we were too bad, but I think that became much more evident as the game went on.
That's a good point, that, because against Leicester, he didn't play any like pace. He didn't play out of any attackers against Leicester, and that was one of our better performances. That's kind of what kicks out this run, because we knew they were going to have a lot of the ball.
Yeah, so maybe against a team that have a lot of possession, we need people who are going to win it back, which they obviously had a good combo of all the things, but we just feel like we were carrying a few people when we didn't have possession, which was lots.
he put on obviously Masaba and Gassama on the wide for a bit of pace and stuff, but they had Ryan Fraser, who for me just turned Palmer inside out all the way around, and everywhere you want, he had a torrid afternoon. Simon, coming up to the first goal, it was a throw-in for Southampton into the channel, and forgive me, anyone listening, I'm not up on Southampton plays, but somebody just hooked it in, and what can only be described as aberration, Simon, on our centre-back's part.
I remember, I'm of an age where match of the day, Alan Hansen used to be on the match of the day, and I think it's a term. Holly put a bingo card thing on our chat earlier on about things you say during a match, which one of the ones I didn't put in was hoof it into row Z, because that's what Alan Hansen used to say, is if as a good defender you get the ball and you put it in row Z, and that's old, good old fashioned.
Dan's not on. We can't do shite accents. We have Dan.
Okay, they knew. There you go. You knew it was Alan Hansen. So, and that's what a central defender, who probably isn't the most skillful central defender in the world, all they have to do. Peter Shirtcliffe made a career out of it. You know, put it into row Z. And the guy, cheers for that, Liam. The guy should have absolutely put his foot through it. And instead, Daisy cutted it to one of their players, and we were speaking off the air, and it was just simple passing in the back of the net. And it just so frustrating, because it was a ball that was it was at his foot. He didn't have to do what he did. Just put your foot through it. He's a big lad. I'm sure he can hit a ball. Just put it wherever. Just put it out of danger. And that's what we've done a lot of this season since Danny's come in, is there's been bodies on the line. We've thrown ourselves in. We've defended stoutly. We've not tapped it out. We've not tried to play it out. We've just basically, if we're under attack, which we were for a considerable amount of that first half, it's just, while it's not in our half, they can't score. And it was just bloody poor.
It was a big ass putting him in after three game suspension as well against Southampton, of all teams. I mean, maybe.
This
thing that Ash alluded to earlier on, that Sisco liked him. You know, he didn't get dropped until Thompson came in. And then obviously Danny Rawl sees something in the player as well.
I think he's got everything you want in a defender, but he's just not doing it. Just can't play it.
For me, if you're looking, is he an improvement over Hekwi? And he's not an improvement over Hekwi. From the very start of signing him, from what I saw on Cisco, and Hekwi wasn't getting in the side, he wasn't an improvement. And the fact he got sent off against Coventry and come back in has proven he is not better player than Hekwi.
I mean, I think a lot of people when in Hekwi, when we first got promoted, thought that in Hekwi was a League One defender. And oh yes, I know he's only had a few minutes this season, but whenever he has played, for me, he's quite impressed, and he looks quite confident on the ball as well, which is a big thing for Danny Rule. And I remember when we played Birmingham, when Dawson and Diaby were having this like pass it to each other, and it was every time that Diaby got the ball, it was like, he don't look that confident a ball playing centre-half, where for me, everyone will disagree maybe, but in Hekwi, it does look a better ball playing.
It just keeps it simple, doesn't it?
You've got two players at the back there in Hekwi and Dijon. Dijon is the ball player. Dijon is a really class player, and I know Stevie talks about him a lot, and we do need to get him signed up for a longer contract because he is actually a find for us this season. And he's the guy who plays the ball. Hekwi just does the simple stuff, heads the ball out, puts it row Z, whatever he needs to do. The trouble is with Bambo is he thinks he has a thought that he's actually a footballer, and he's not, in regards to what Dijon is. Dijon is the ball player, and unfortunately, we took that ball player out of the back three, four, whatever we played, and put him in midfield of where he didn't really touch the ball.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Hollett, first goal, suspicion of a little bit of handball, do you think, for me? I think yes. What about yourself?
I shouted for it. If it had been one of ours, I'd have probably said it once, but yeah, I shouted for it.
And it had to be, didn't it, Shea Adams as well?
I mean, Palmer slipped didn't help either, it's just right. It was all Bambo.
No.
Palmer slips, just... and the minute it goes, he stands there and like, blames everyone else but himself, but you did slip off a pal.
I think the problem is that a team like that, like, a slip or a little fumble is not that much of a problem unless it's against a team like that. Like, for all of the goals, it were just... I mean, they were good goals, but all of them came from something that we did that were bad, and they just went, right, well, we'll have it then. And then a couple of passes later, it's in there.
Tired minds make mistakes.
Every mistake.
Oh, I'm not having that bollocks, Blair. Tired minds. They played one game in a week.
They were under the cosh for like ages.
Every mistake that was made, which Holly alluded to it perfectly, every mistake that was made that somebody like probably, I don't know, at Bristol or QPR or who wouldn't punish us, they punished us for every mistake we made. So the two crosses in for the first goals that shouldn't have been allowed to cross in, Johnson was at fault there. Then obviously Bambo slipping up, Palmer slipping up. You know, those, I think out of all the goals that really wasn't a huge mistake on our part was the third goal, which you'll move on to. But each one of them was a mistake we got punished for. Simple as that. And every time we made a mistake, they scored.
I think if we'd have gone into that first half 0-0, we'd all have been happy, even though it was pretty much under the cosh. I think we had one effort. I think Cadamarcha had a header, like a looping header that went wide.
It was Windass, I think.
Was it Windass? Oh. Apologies.
Yeah.
It went wide, and that was it. That was our amount of attacking ability in the first half. So, I mean, first half ended, went down to the concourse, had a nice Coca-Cola and about 15 quid's worth of food because it's expensive. And then came back refreshed, ready for the second half, for it all to be totally different. Danny Rule made some changes, didn't he, for the second half? Volts came on. Because that first half midfield with Bannon and Bernard, we said, just didn't work, did it?
It wasn't really a midfield, was it? They were just kicking it into a gap and hoping for the best. It was like when you play Sunday league and everybody thinks they're a striker and they're on the horizon and you're just like, guys, you need to come back. They just didn't. So
that Will Smallbone they had in midfield was just unbelievably good.
He was like the Bannon of 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, he was like, it's like when you first saw his name, I thought, oh, Will Smallbone, the gag writes itself, right? And then within 10 minutes, you're like, can't take piss out of him. He's that good. He was that good. He was ridiculous.
Merrick's come back to say, why is Dan not here to review the Dan Fudge derby? I'll tell you why Dan's not here, because he's currently on a plane going over to New Zealand. He's been kicked out of the UK for his absolute football knowledge, and he's going to spend a couple of weeks over in New Zealand and annoy them lot. So that's where Dan is. So unfortunately, you're going to be stuck with me hosting for a couple of weeks. So apologies, everyone. That's why Dan's not here for the Dan Fudge derby. And only Dan Fudge would call it that. So it's just it's what it is, isn't it? So second half, we came out. Nothing exactly. I was just Blair. You could take it because I was just going to say the same.
I think the took my eye in the most was right in Danny Rule's early tenure. He's always liked Gassama. He's always played Gassama. I mean, if he's had to take one of Gassama or Masaba off, he used to always take Gassama off of and leave Masaba on. But he took Masaba off this time, so I think that just shows how well Gassama's getting on and how much he's improving. And he had some chances. I think it might have been at 2-0. We spoke about the second goal, yeah. At 2-0, Gassama had that break, and I think Adam Armstrong pulled him. You don't know. We probably would have missed it, but he was like our only outlet, and he's like a 19-year-old lad. But yeah, nothing changed. He tried to change it. I don't even know if formation even changed. Or it would just Southampton had the ball all the time. It was so hard to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did. He brought Volks and Fletcher came on for Cadamatre, and Volks came in midfield, and then I think he went to a back three and had Johnson and Palmer as like wing backs, which I mean, could have started with that, would have been probably a bit better, but anything could have been better than the final result, I suppose, couldn't it? Holly, the second goal, another bit of a defensive mess up again, weren't it? So we are the kings of our own downfall for this match, especially.
It all got a bit blurry for me after half time, I'm not going to lie. For the first time ever, I thought I'm on the podcast this week, I'm going to write some notes. So I wrote some notes at half time in my phone.
Can you read them?
I can read them to you now. Well, they should be a bit.
three Jaeger bombs, two lagers.
Everything's spelt wrong, but it says, it doesn't make sense. It says, no shots, rather kill a man. Come to terms with it. First half passing to nothing. Knit faster, knit better. Ehekwe, we lost, worth it, wrong, cheap, not asked.
Have you got Tourette's?
I don't know what any of that means. I feel like some of that were like, I'll remember that.
What was cheap? I don't know
if some of that might
actually,
have been
you could get
a lot of it.
You
was
could get a job at the Star.
I would just say that. Yeah. I think Joe and Alex best watch out. I think with that. It's a holiday. You know, like we do the TikTok and Instagram, our day out at the game. But I think the Star could do that with Holly, and she does like the highlights of the game, and it's the Star content for TikTok.
First time I've ever written notes, and I thought I was genius. I'll do it now because I won't remember tomorrow. This will make perfect sense.
I don't know whether the Star still does it, but I remember Laura Lawrence used to write a little segment for the Star every Friday or Saturday. You need to now do that. And just have random words. It's like something out of Vic and Bob. It's like Etching Bowo, now Wolf Bark.
I like that it ended with not asked. Not even asked.
I mean,
so somebody tell me what happened for the second goal. We lost the ball. I feel like we just kicked it to him and then went, oh.
I'm sure the winger on Marv's side went past him again and put the ball into the box. I think it was very similar to the first goal, or I might be wrong.
It was the ball through. They crossed it in, and was it Armstrong? Armstrong hit it, and I think Bernard was on the line, well, slid in, to get it off the line. But it was just bad positioning, really bad. And I mean, I'm just trying to think of all, on a positive note, is the efforts we had. In the second half, I think we hit the target twice. One was a free kick by Windass. So, I mean, it was on target, but and it was it put some pace behind it, but it was straight at the keeper, I think. We've got a comment here from Sharman. Can we give Danny some props, though? He knew it was a big mission and went for it anyway. Previous gaffers would have been negative and would have been the same.
I think that's because Huddersfield was at home to Plymouth. And we've just got that gap to 3 points, and it could have got back to 6 points because Plymouth just lost two of their key players, Huddersfield at home. I mean, maybe he just thought, I need to try and get some out of this game, because if it goes back to 6 points, it's going to be fucking hard.
Yeah, I get that.
I think the props you give to him is the fact that he recognised that the team selection he made in the first half wasn't working. Wow.
Yeah.
And he changed it immediately on half time. And I did actually think, even though we conceded three goals in the second half and not one, I did actually feel that the midfield did actually pick up a bit with Volks in. And Volks did have some. I think the third goal really took the stuffing out of the guys, because they were really pushing on trying to get a goal back. And then that was a complete counter, wasn't it? And I know for me, as a fan watching it, it was like, oh, we got a chance. He got a chance here, and then they broke and scored, and it was like that.
The Windass chance. There was a Windass chance.
A little bit of possession. Sorry, bro.
Yeah.
There was a Windass chance because Sam did some great work, and he crossed it in, and Windass blasted it over the bar. It wasn't the easiest chance in the world, but he should do better.
I don't know
if that was that at 1-0 or 2-0, but 2-0, they scored like virtually immediately after that, and it was just kind of like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and I think that's that then, anybody who plays football, certainly as a fan watching it, that was what they call the sucker punch, wasn't it? It was that, and you could just then see the whole team go, oh God, we've just been trying so hard, but we're just so far behind this team in regards to skill and organisation. I mean, not organisation, but just they had... It just highlighted to me the huge gulf between teams in the Championship who've been in the Championship. Bear in mind, we've been there 23 years now, in and out of the Championship, and we've pushed on once to get into the Premiership.
Well, this is the thing about parachute payments. When I said that, and Stevie went, oh, we had nothing to do
bollocks. With bollocks. Nothing to do with parachute payments.
I was Blair. Like, have you seen their squad?
No, but Blair, that's not parachute payments now. No. Parachute payments come into place 2-3 years down the line. That is purely them. I mean, bear in mind, they've sold over £100 million of the players this season, and they've still got a really good squad.
£126 million, I think it was.
Yeah.
The substitutes were like £38 million or something. What came on?
I think what it shows, and the scary thing as well is for any team that do go up, is I think since COVID, the teams in the Premiership have moved on so much in regards to the value of the squads, the talent of the squads. The Premiership is such a big draw compared to any league in the world now that all the really, really, really good players come, even to Southampton. I mean, bear in mind, they were playing in Europe not long ago. You know, this is a hugely talented squad who we all think, oh, it's just Southampton. But, you know, that's why teams like Burnley, Sheffield United are struggling so much in the Premiership now, is because...
Yeah, but they'll come down and they'll be great. Just...
Well, they'll be good enough to probably go back up out of our league, but then they'll just go straight back down again because there's a huge gulf there. There's such a big gulf there.
Gone are the days when you had the Blackpool and like first season. Well, Sheffield United did do it though, didn't they? They finished eighth, was it? I think in their first season.
They did in a COVID year, didn't they? And then they went down. But I think they're struggling now because I think this last 2-3 years, the Premiership has moved on another level, and there's just huge gap now between us, as in the Championship, any team in the Championship. I mean, Ipswich, if Ipswich were to go up, they've got to spend millions to even have a chance. But if they do, They've got to spend millions. Leeds will have to spend millions, you know?
Yeah.
Ben's just put on here 50% of Premier League TV money in the first year they go down.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's 60, 70 million, is it? I would imagine. Mm. Something like that. So, yeah.
But you know,
yeah,
it's not even just certain. It's loads of little stuff. Like, their first touch of every single one of their players were just... Like stopping the ball dead.
Yeah.
None of them like a touch that's a bit too far that we could sweep up. They were just, and then like you're saying, Si, you're saying that Johnson and Palmer were poor. I don't think that they're necessarily slouchers, but they were just loads fitter and faster. People around me were shouting, "Don't let him cross the ball," and they were like, they were just nowhere near.
I don't think it's fitter and faster. I just think that they can read beyond our players. You see it as you do get older as a player, you drop behind even though you've got the skills. But I think they're just so much better switched on.
It looked like us in League One last season when we had the far better team, and then like when Cambridge come knocking when we put five past them, and we had the ball for most of the game, they probably thought exactly the same. They probably on their podcast went, "It was better than us."
Yeah, well, on that point, Blair, if I just bring this up, look, proper Dan Fudge this up, look. Oh, he loves a bit of stats. So, obviously, we saw the first game of the season at home against Southampton when we did get passed to death. Now, we didn't get passed to death, I didn't think, on Saturday.
No.
Not in the sense of that, but you look, 70-30 again. We are going back in the dark days of Cisco there. But, for me... and I don't know if anyone will agree or not, but it wasn't a... I didn't think it was a 70-30 possession game. Look, they only had seven shots only. Look at me, fucking hell, sorry. They had seven shots on target and scored four. But they were all... if you watch all the goals, they just passed them into the goal. They were
clinical, weren't they? They were massively clinical.
Yeah.
And that's where we have suffered this season. Probably the only time we were clinical... was really the whole game, wasn't it? Where every shot we had on target went in.
Yeah. Well, we had 21 shots against Hull, didn't we? And had six on target.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
That's it. But that's how mad it is. This league, it is thing. So we'll look. We've talked about the absolute horror that was Saturday for 30 odd minutes. Now let's draw it. So final thoughts on the Southampton for me. I've just seen a comment here from Steve. Did we expect anything from this game? Happy to park it and move on to the next. I've got to agree with him because I'm always a little bit positive. I know Dan always says I'm the grump of the podcast and things, but I'm always a little bit positive. But he's right. The results around us, Huddersfield drew, but everyone else lost. So it's not, in the big scheme of things, it's not a massive thing.
Everybody on the podcast last week said it was a free hit. You know, if you can have a free hit, everybody said last week, we'll have to listen to it, was it's a free hit. You know, if we get anything out of it, that's fantastic. We didn't get anything out of it. I'm a bit peed that we lost 4-0 just because of the ginger dwarf who was on that podcast.
And goal difference.
And obviously goal difference. But like you say, those around us... nobody moved really. Huddersfield 1 point, so it's 4 points now.
It's more like five now. Yeah. That goal difference, though.
Yeah. In regards to what Sharma's just said, I would actually agree with that. That the only people who actually really sang were the people I was right in the corner, and the only people who really sang were people to one side, and I think there were some to the right hand side who sang, and the rest of the Southampton fans just sort of sat there. And secondly, is goal music needs to go in the bin.
We never hear it at ours anyway.
It was just atrocious. Absolutely atrocious, the goal music. Just go away.
I mean, if it were the darts,
they need goal music to encourage them to sing when they've just scored, then there is something wrong. They need to get back on their boats and sail around the Solent.
Sadly, them smashing us 4-0 is like just expected, which is like shit, isn't it?
Yeah, when that guy was celebrating that last goal, I just thought, well. Well done, you.
Well done. Pop world, here I come.
Yeah, exactly. I'm off the pop world now.
The game may have been rubbish, but like many time for anyone who goes home or away, is that after the game, like skiing, après football, I think that could be a thing, après football. Was quite spectacular, wasn't it, Holly? And no doubt for a lot of Wednesdayites who stayed over in Southampton. Yeah. But anyone listening and watching, please drink responsibly. It's not big, it's not clever. Just look at our TikTok and the state of Daniel.
oh, my God, he looks so ill.
He did look ill. So we move on from a bit of a horror show on the South Coast. It's done and dusted, isn't it? Go on to the next. That's it. We can't do anything about it. So,
Who's next?
We'll get on to that on Blair. So, next on the agenda for us tonight is obviously it's January. We can't do a show. We do one a week. We can't do a show without mentioning transfers. I'll keep saying it. Anyone in the comments want to drop in any sort of comments or transfers? What you'd like to see? Ins, outs, shake it all about, that sort of thing. So we have brought in two players up to now. We're on the 15th of January, so 15 days. So a Mr. Beadle and Ugbo. Now, anyone listening, and I apologise, you know we're all great here for pronunciations and accents. Is it Ike? What's his first name? I don't know, so please, anyone can chime in with that. Holly, what do you think? Ike Ugbo?
I don't know. All I know with a Barnsley household is that he got relegated from this league with Barnsley. So that is the sum of my knowledge of this guy. So surely he's not going to want to do that again.
The thing that for me on Twitter and social media is Danny Rule has got a massive following. Sheffield Wednesday, he's really took on 90-odd% of the fans are really behind him. And I think if Danny Rule makes any sort of decisions in January, I think most of the fans are going to be behind the decisions he's making. They may not be his decision, somebody above him, maybe making the ins and outs.
Well, I'm going to say something controversial.
Why not? Right. This is a podcast, Holly, and I'm sure everyone shall shoot you down. One, because it'll be shit, and two, is because you're a lady.
Absolutely. I'm not sure that this is obviously it's controversial after the performance on Saturday, but I don't think that we're that far off. Like, if you think if Momo's back and he's as good as he was for that 65 minutes that he played before his injury.
Yeah.
We've got a new keeper. We're not bothered about Southampton, as I said in my notes, not arsed, right? Yeah. That's not a problem to us.
Cheap, you said.
Cheap, not arsed. Right? We just have to, and we're not even arsed with two-thirds of the table. We just have to get above three teams, and I think that we are good enough. Nearly there to get above three teams. And I know someone said to give props to Danny about how he approached Southampton, just to go back onto that. But you said that you enjoyed it more than the first day, Ash. And that's because of the Danny vibes. And because he dared to do something different, we could have sat back that entire game and still lost, and he didn't. And I think that that could work against some other team. Maybe we might need a striker, since Ashley's not doing what I have told him he can do.
Ashley Fletcher, not Ashley on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, a bit of both.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's been said plenty of times. In my Sunday league, on Sunday League One, in my pub league, Sunday League, obviously I'm not built for football. You can't
That's
see
one
the
more list, Ashley Fletcher.
Yeah, if anyone sees me, I was a goalkeeper and a left back. And anyway, you don't want to. I'm not a good footballer at all. So.
Better than me.
Simon, January.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, obviously, all the rumours of people coming in. Not a lot of movement on outs, is there, at the minute?
No, first few... We can't get ahead of Hendricks because Newcastle don't want him back, which I think is one of the funniest things ever.
It's
classic Wednesday, isn't it? It's like, can we borrow your player? Yes, of course you can. He's shit. Can you have him back? No, we don't want him. Get him away from here. He can pay his wages and they'll have him back. Oh, for fuck's sake. There you go. Bingo number five there, Holly. Yeah. And I don't know whether the same situation was Ashley Fletcher. Sorry, Holly. But is he... I'd see Hendricks as surplus now. I think we keep hold of Fletcher until we get a striker in. Another striker in, maybe Blair. I don't know if...
No, don't get Blair in this shit.
he gets shouted by Stevie. it's... Oh dear! I mean, there was talk the other day about George. It was talk the other day about George Byers going, wasn't there? And then the press went. I mean, I was sat in the corner shaking and crying when I heard that. But there was talk. Then all of a sudden, Danny Rule said, "No, he's part of my plans. I'm keeping him." Still banned?
And then kept him out of the team.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
And then he didn't play on Saturday. He's like, "What?" I think defense wise, I think we're actually all right in defense. Believe it or not. There was talk about Gregory going to Mansfield last week, and that was supposedly signed, sealed, and delivered. And he didn't go to Mansfield, and he's still on the books.
I sort of thought.
I mean, bear in mind it's only Monday, but last week we signed two players, and that's what I wanted us to do: was start signing players early, and not like we did last season, wait till the end of the month. We signed Aidan Flint, and then that was it. You know,
sometimes it's not your choice to do that, though. Players don't come available until the end of the month.
Yeah, I understand that, Blair. But also, as well, I would hope that we've taken on this new recruitment director. I would hope that he'd be, as soon as he signed his contract of employment, he was looking for players straight away.
Yeah, and the FA Cup fourth round to come up, and a Premier League team might want to feel their kid just to get it out of the way, and some FA Cup wee plays to be played. And players might not be available until the end of January, so it's just done.
Yeah, we've had a call. Al's 1992. Is anyone good year that I started schooling that year? Is anyone concerned that it's day 15 and we've only signed two players? No, I don't know. I know January's a busy month, isn't it? And obviously, the earlier you get your players in, got Beadle in pretty early, and obviously we've got Hugbo in. It's like Blair's just said, it's not always. Maybe not Sheffield Wednesday's fault or Danny Rule's fault or the chairman's fault. It's just how dominoes fall, isn't it? They always say that.
Yeah.
It's what we can afford as well, isn't it? I know a few of our... I mean, Coventry have brought a few players in, but they've paid for them. Yeah. So it's down to what's available out there as well, isn't it, in regards to frees or free transfers, loans.
You've got to have loan players, can't you, as well?
For WRC 2006, I said, hope role gets backed in a window, else if it's down to free and loans, I think Danny will walk eventually. It's the kind of thing Chansoy would do, because this is not ours, but I will quote it. He's a knob sausage chairman. So
I think unfortunately in this league, all teams have to look at loans because of the financial fair play, unless you're one of the teams that's blessed with parachute payments from wherever you've been. And bear in mind, we're probably the six or seven teams in this league that have got parachute payments from the Premier League, you know, Norwich, West Brom, as well as the three that just came down, we've got to look at freebies. And there are actually some good freebies out there.
Well, we need Gassama. We need Gassama to do keep doing well, and Kadamatri so we can sell him off for big money.
One thing I wanted to say was I think Masaba's properly dropped up over the last few games.
Sell him.
I wouldn't say sell him, but I'm just a little bit worried about the player that he looks. He looks half the player he was a while ago, and Gassama looks three times the player he was. It is quite worrying that he's not looking the player he was, and maybe he needs some time outside. But again, where do you play him? He's not going to play in the under-21s, is he?
Holly, what about yourself, Holly? Where do you think that you'd like to strengthen? We've had a message from Ray here. He reckons two new fullbacks wouldn't go amiss. Is that somewhere that you think we've got other positions you'd like to strengthen before wing backs?
I feel like because it's January and we've just got hammered, people are going to say that we need all new people. We might be waiting for some of our players to go out elsewhere before we can get people in. So that might be something that we're waiting for. Like with this comment, Smith might be going somewhere else.
Smith linked to Derby, and Windass is going to join hands with Palmer and go to MLS.
I think that we are on a par with a lot of other admittedly shite teams for most of it, depending on how his keeper settles in. And I would just like someone who can put the ball in the net, in the other net.
I just find it embarrassing that Vasquez is still here.
Well,
the young boy has arrived to take over as the other keeper.
It's with a paying full wage for a third choice keeper.
They're waiting for another loan for AC Milan, are waiting for another loan. So, you know, like we did to Oxford with Beadle. Brighton have said, right, we're recalling from Oxford because Wednesday want him. I think that's the same with Vasquez, and I think it's just happened today with Scott Twine. Scott Twine's been recalled from Hull to Burnley, and now he's gone to Bristol. Which I know we can't afford 2.5 mil, but
what doesn't sound that much, does it though?
It is though to us. I'd have took Scott Twine. I really would.
It's not the 2.5 mil, is it? It's his wages. Now his wages will be quite high as well.
And 30 grand a week, we can splash out a striker.
That's moving money around, isn't it? The loans go back, and then Gregory leaves. You've suddenly got 30 grand to spend.
And we got foot with points for him doing that, didn't we? Moving money about.
He's not very good at that sort of shit. So
there's a lot as well in regards to you don't know when the loan agreements were signed, because bear in mind Vasquez joined us really really late. So his we'd actually already played Southampton, I think, when he joined. So there might also be as well that the 6 months doesn't actually run out until maybe the end of this month or something along those lines. We don't know. It's like this thing with the 23 players registered, and then Momo came in, and it was a case of, well, how's that happened? And it turns out during the month of January, That squad of 23, you can unsign players off the 23 and bring another player in on the 23 and take another player out of the 23. And it's like rolling subs over a week sort of thing, which, we had no idea about. And I don't think anybody knew about it, did they?
No. I want to know who is talking about. Sink's talking about here. Comment, best we could do is £1.50 in a pack of skips. Now, I don't know where he's got my wages from, but he's bang on there.
Mate, if anybody's ever had...
And it's a deal.
If anybody's ever eaten a packet of skips, we could sign anybody.
Joe, I tell you what, people are agreeing with you, Holly. I don't like this.
It wasn't controversial.
I agree with Holly. I think the current squad may just have enough for us to stay up. Would like to see a midfielder and another striker come in, though.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I think that we are better. Look at Plymouth are flying down that league since their manager left and a couple of loan players have gone back. I think we're going to actually finish not third from fourth from bottom, but probably fifth or sixth from bottom.
Home well, form is key, isn't it?
I looked at the table recently, and Cardiff are like on the cusp of the playoffs.
I know, and they're
they
awful.
Were one of us not that long ago. Yeah, and yeah. We've like given them loads of points for free.
Blackburn were flying up there, and they're flying down the league again. I think there's a lot of teams going into free fall at the moment. And if we can, well, we'll talk about Saturday's game in a bit, but we've got QPR coming up, we've got Huddersfield coming up, you know, yeah. We've got teams, well, you know, that Blackburn. These teams, we need to take 3 points. Let's forget about the Leicesters and stuff like that. Here you go. Look, big games. Huddersfield and Birmingham, absolutely bang.
They're back to back them as well.
Well, that's what I mean. So, like, that's it. Danny Rule might have been really naive to think that we can play that left field situation thing that we just did against Southampton. But that naivety or that risk taking, I think that's going to keep us up. That's it. We're in playoffs. Book your Wembley hotels. I think it's going to work. I honestly think it's going to work.
I think we've got a job for Holly. I think Sky Sports News should bring back, you know, where they have the people outside. We've got one for Hillsborough. So Liam has said, any chance Holly can refer to her phone notes and they see any clues to who we might sign?
Yeah. Just take the first letter and then the third letter and the fourth letter.
Yeah. J-bomb.
It could be anybody from like the Middle East or something, judging by the letters.
FBI, that are... It's like when they found the Unibomber. It'd be like the FBI coming in to work out it all.
This is a very valid point from Marek. I would love to pick Plymouth out of relegation zone just to get back at them for all those long away trip defeats.
We once went down to Plymouth and the car broke down on the way and we got in after half time and we lost and it was just the worst trip ever. Cost an absolute fortune to get the car fixed. Only watched half of the game and we still were absolutely shit.
I
agree.
I've still got PTSD from my trip down in my mate's electric car.
Yes, Steve.
An electric car, we've had to stop 15 times.
Yes, we did.
Saving the planet.
Steve will comment in a minute, guaranteed.
Yeah, he will do. He's been on, so he will do. any other little tidbits of transfer information, or anyone seen anybody in the car park of KFC?
We've been linked, you know, like the Hungarian lad, haven't we, from the MLS?
Oh, yes, Blair, please tell us. You've done extensive research.
I've done extensive research. My extensive research comes down to that on Transfermarkt, he's worth £8 million, which would be the most valuable player at our club. The second most valuable player at our club is currently James Beadle at £3 million.
And he's not even our player.
And he's not even our player. And the third most valuable player is Ike Ugbo, who is not even our player either. Brilliant. At £2.5 million. Well,
His name's Daniel Gazdag, so he's Dan Gazdag. So I await your notes, Holly, when you're putting in.
I think that's what we're talking about.
No, I don't. I await whoever, because I will give props to Sheffield Wednesday fans, whoever they are out there that come up with these songs for players that we see on Twitter. There's a new one every.
Get his name into a song.
It will get people's names into songs. Is fantastic. I challenge them.
I await Gaz Robinson doing a song about Dan Gazdag. Yeah. I'm waiting for it.
Steve's been on, it was 14 times, not 15. But yeah.
I think we should just shout Gazdag to Snoop Dogg songs.
I did see this earlier. Ben's just put up it. I mean, is this a good... he's an international player and he's scored against England. He scored against England, he's saying Ben's put up. So... I mean, it's all rumours, isn't it? We've been linked to lots of players before and they've not come off. And whoever the
mole... He's a number 10 by looks of it. And, you know, I mean, he's a player we are looking for, to be fair.
So is that like a Windass? Not replacement, I dare say it, because obviously there is rumours of Windass may go.
Windass is running out of his contract, you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. It's a tricky play. He's played in the MLS, I believe, or he's in the MLS. They're on a break.
He's in the MLS now. Yeah.
So you never know, do you?
ultimately, if we sign someone that everybody knows, they go, nah, shit. And if we sign someone that nobody knows, they go, well, he must be shit. We don't know him. And then,
of course.
So,
I'm going to go on this motto, Holly, Blair and Simon. I'll include you. In Danny Roll, we trust. You see, I think that's, and I've seen that a lot on Twitter. A lot of people, like I said at the start of the show, have been backing him, and for whatever reason, he's been backed, I believe, by the chairman, apart from Connor Coventry. But then again, if you're paying £1 million for someone running out in 5 months' contract, then the chairman could be. I don't want to give him props that much, but it could be sensible for not spending that money on someone.
He went to a struggling League One team, so it's not exactly
is from the south, though, isn't he? He's from London, so it's a big thing for them. Londoners to come up north, isn't
he? And my missus hates it.
She might say you, Blair.
Yeah, well. But Conor Coventry had a spell at Rotherham, didn't he, last season? So maybe, he's been in South Yorkshire.
It's a cross between Blue Water or Meadowhall, and he's gone for Blue Water.
Singh said they may have been wanting a 50% sell-on clause as well. So you think maybe not good business sense either.
There's loads of players out.
There is. And that's for them at the club to make the decisions and bring in and make us happy. By finishing one goal outside. That's all it takes. One goal out of bottom three.
We're going to have to do some serious work on goal difference if we're going to be one goal
out. Yeah, I know. Well,
that's the most disheartening thing about Saturday.
Look, I've seen Wednesday get relegated on goal difference. I want to go points. Points is all that counts.
Points mean prizes, Simon.
Points mean prizes, without a doubt. I don't want to go 1990 again. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Right, that's our in-depth transfer knowledge for Wednesday week, yeah.
You can't get any better. Than that.
Quick fitter for the old ones out there. Right, so any other business? Anybody got any other business they would like to share? Yeah, I have.
Who are we playing on Saturday? Balls.
Oh, sorry.
Can we? I know it's shit.
Yes, I know. Right, so... Saturday out of the way, coming up on Saturday at home, we have Coventry for the second time out of three times, maybe four, depending how it goes. In the league on Saturday at home, Coventry. They're a bit shit as well, aren't they, at the minute?
Oh, yeah.
I wish.
Terrible form.
God's sake.
Simon.
Our home form's impressive.
Oh, go on, Blair. Go on, Blair.
Our home form's impressive at the moment. Crowds will be behind the lads, so who knows? Hull gave me a big reputation, and they're trying to get promoted, like Coventry. And we absolutely destroyed them, which was like probably the best we've played for a long, long, long time, to be fair. So you never know at home. Let's hope home advantage plays its part, but when they just beat Leicester 3-1, it's very promising, isn't it?
Yeah, I watched that in the pub on Saturday. Yeah, it's not. Holly, what do you think about Coventry coming to S6 on Saturday?
I really don't like Coventry, based on nothing other than I feel like they're one of them teams where we always do poor against them, but I do say that about every team. But it's always just like a game where it's not even like the, like, oh God, that were bad. It's just like, and I just don't want, and the thought of having to play them so many times is just the worst. However, despite their form and despite all of this, I'm just going to ignore that, and I'm going to ignore how they played on Saturday, and I'm going to be really positive, and I think we're going to get some up. I am deteriorating fast, though, because this has been a really long day.
Simon, what are your thoughts on Coventry coming to Hillsborough on Saturday?
Oh God! Well, they beat in the M69 Derby. obviously, they beat 10 men Leicester, which they'll have people be having tattoos all over themselves and everything in Coventry, because that's what they do in Cov. My other half's from Coventry, so there's a little bit of, even though she doesn't like football and she hates football, she remembers when we play Coventry, and it hasn't been often. Recently, I know they've been moaning about the fact that they haven't got enough tickets, but we're only allowed to give them so many tickets because SAG will only let sell so many.
They've got the maximum. It's 3,000.
Yeah, they have.
I'm sure
when they were playing at St Andrews and at Sixfields, Northampton's ground, they didn't take so many with them. But now they're playing okay. They got in the playoffs last season. I'd like to get a little bit of revenge from Boxing Day. I think we'll not set up as naively as we did on Boxing Day. I think Danny Rule will also feel a little bit aggrieved about some bad decisions on Saturday. I'm going, somebody put 2-1. I think we'll have a bloody good go at him. And 2-1 would be, 2-1 to Wednesday.
Yeah, Ben's put 2-1. Ford WRC has put, we can do Cov at home. Hey, this is positivity, this.
I'm liking this positivity.
Yeah.
Oh, look at it. Hey,
look. Oh, good old Icky.
We're going for an Ugbo brace and a 2-1 win.
Yeah.
Go on then, Blair. I'll trouble you for a quick prediction.
Let's just go 4-0 Wednesday. Why not?
Why not, Blair?
Yes!
Holly?
I'm going to say a win as well. And I don't care what the score is. Not asked.
Just a win. I'm gonna go for just a 1-0 win. I know we scored 3 against Hull. I'm still a bit worried about us being gun shy. We haven't got a massive amount of goals in still. But if I agree with Sink and Ugbo gets one, I'll be happy with that. So we've all gone for a win. We've had a few wins on the comments as well. So we're all a positive lot, aren't we? I'll revert back to my question earlier. Thanks, Simon, for reminding me about Coventry.
Apologies.
No, you don't have to apologise. Any other business, anybody? Any other business?
Ash, have you got some any other business?
I've got some any other business. So thank you for saying it. So,
you're welcome.
Right. Everyone watching, listening, all this sort of palaver on our social medias. Just want to say that coming up, probably this week, we're going to announce details of a Easter egg drop. So what we are arranging with the club is that we are going to take donations of Easter eggs which we're going to give out to charities. So there's a couple of children's charities that we're going to be working with that we're going to collect Easter eggs before a few of the games coming up. And so if you go down to Hillsborough and we're going to be round about the mega store, you'll see it all on our social medias over the next few weeks with all further details. But if you can spare a quid for an Easter egg, the bonus is that for every person that donates an egg, you're going to be put into the draw to be able to win either a home shirt or an away shirt. So let's get all the donations in. If you can spare 50p egg, I think even cream eggs are more than 50p now. Oh, look at that. I've made... There's always one. Come on.
Ash, how do you indicate that it's their egg? Do they have to put their address on it?
Yeah, we'll be taking everyone's details. Anyone who comes and donates an egg, we'll take all the contact details, put into a hat and drawn to win a shirt. So over the next week or two, we'll get the full details out. But yeah, really happy that the club, we're going to work with the club towards doing this. And hopefully we'll collect a couple of eggs for non-diabetic children.
I think
even diabetic children can have them, but in go on.
And the great thing as well is you might actually get to meet one of us.
Yeah, thanks for that. So I just put everyone off. cheers, Ben. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's part of our initiative community.
Well, first of insulin.
But yeah, thanks for everyone.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. But you all absolutely rinsed me for like the last day of November having my Christmas tree up, and it's January. So what's that about? I was too early for Christmas.
Right.
Holly.
There's a reason.
Doesn't matter.
There's a reason. It's to get just it out there for people just to be aware that there is things coming, that there's going to be 3 or 4 games before the games that can bring an egg and they've got the chance to win a shirt.
If I buy an egg now, I'm going to eat the egg and then I'm going to have to buy a second egg, which I'm also probably going to eat.
Look, Lolo, do Wednesday, where do you send the eggs? We are going to be having a bit of a stall type thing before the home games run up to Easter, where you can drop them off. And then also, if for anyone listening that lives obviously far away that doesn't get to Hillsborough as much as often, we were going to set something up for that as well. So look for details there. But yeah, that's the early notice for everyone that we are going to be doing a bit of Easter egg drops.
The games will be after January. Holly.
Yes, yes. It's not Saturday. We're not going
to... Too late. I bought the eggs. I've eaten them.
Guys, girls, everyone listening, thank you very much for joining us. This has been the Wednesday week. It's been a bit of a roller coaster weekend on for a number of things. A couple of podcasters overindulged. But, you know, that's what the weekends are for. But thank you very much for listening and watching. We will be back next week. And... have a good week, and we'll see you at Hillsborough on Saturday. Thank you very much. See you, everyone.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Le Bosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.